asked you a question last week. Can anybody remember what the question was? I asked you to do something, not specifically a question. I said, when you go to church in the new building next week, I asked you if you could do something. Can anybody remember? Just as a little test. I shan't tell you off if you can't remember, but I asked you if you would look at the fields. Remember? You know. And if you haven't looked at the fields, then you're as guilty as every one of us for not looking at the fields. And I'm going to go back to that same chapter today, John chapter 4, John's Gospel chapter 4. And look, I don't have time to read it through this morning. It's just to read it, you need to read the whole chapter. But basically, in John chapter 4, it talks about the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well as we know her, meeting Jesus. And he told her, the Bible says, all the things that she'd ever done. That she'd had 5 husbands, and the husband that she was with wasn't her husband. He told her straight, he pointed a finger, as it were, a loving finger at her heart, and said, this is where you're at. And this whole chapter really, up until sort of verse 43, talks about what happened around this situation. So we have Jesus going out of his way. If it says in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but he left Judea and departed, verse 3, again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Why did he need to go through Samaria? Because in his heart he saw a field which was white to harvest. You see, sometimes we do things out of habit and all sorts of situations. We just go through the motions of things, and Garrett brought that out quite clearly this morning in his testimony. We do church, we sing the songs, and we go through it all. It's really confirmation of what I needed to speak on it. But we don't see the fields. The fields are white and to harvest, but we don't see them. We just see the normal things we do. We come in, we sing our songs, we drive the same route, we talk, we listen to the cassette player, that's not my age now, we listen to the CD player, and we listen to the music, and all those sorts of things. We come to church and we do all our things, we greet our friends and kiss each other and shake each other's hands, and we love each other, and we come and sit in, and we set up for worship, and we set up for the overheads, and we do all of these things. And then we have our coffees and teas and biscuits, and then we get in our cars and we drive home, and we never look at the fields. You see, God's brought us to a new field, a new place, a new harvest field here in the port of Matteron. And I want your church, from now on, to look at the fields. What's your heart telling you? Look at every man and woman and child that you see on the side of the road. Look at them. Look at the houses and the city and the areas. Pick one out and pray for it. So God, give me insight into who lives in this area. What can I do to touch their lives? What can I do to make a difference in this place that you've moved me to? And you see, Jesus here didn't need to go through Samaria. He could have gone another route, but he made a special journey into this place, because he knew in his heart there was a harvest field here. There was a field white to harvest. And so often, we do the mundane things. We do what comes naturally to us because we don't like stepping off course. We don't like doing sometimes what our heart is telling us to do. You know, I'm telling you this morning, church, there is encouragement and joy and such a privilege of serving Jesus when we follow our hearts sometimes, and we go off the normal track that we do, and we look at the fields. Because you see, we'll read later on, the disciples, Jesus said to you, would say there's 4 months until the harvest, but I tell you now, the fields are white, they're ready for harvest now. You see, you're looking at the normal things, you're looking at the way things always have been and the way they are should be. But no, I do outside of the box of your thinking. You see, I shared a little bit last week. You see, there are people here. We're today is a bit, this street will never be the same again. You know, the apartments above, the people in there will never be the same again from today, because you know they will know that something different is happening here. For the first time ever, there's worship starting in Madrid here in Puerto Mataron. It's a different sort of spirit working in this place. There's no spirit working in the bar at the end of the road, but there's a different spirit working in here, and we are bringing the Spirit, Holy Spirit of Jesus, into this place. And it's going to touch the bar, it touch the neighborhood, touch the people who drive up and down the road. This is a rat run for everybody. Every man and his dog drives down here. We want every man and his dog to come to know Jesus. You know, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to see it? I want you, in the weeks ahead, as you drive home, as you drive here, I want you to look at the area. You know, when you've got half an hour to spare, go to Los Galeros, have a coffee, but walk around the streets and pray. And say, God, just bring us people into church from here. You know, let me meet somebody today I can share my testimony with. Are you looking for the fields? Or are you just looking in normal? Are you looking coffee, cake, Mercadona, Lidl, home, whatever, church, prayer meeting, Bibles? Are we looking at this or are we looking at the field? We've got a beautiful place God's provided for us to worship Him in. I put a note on Facebook last night, as I do sometimes, and I said, mix 2.5 months with basically a bunch of old geezers or near retirees, and what do you get? No, not a hernia. You get a special place to worship a special Saviour in. And that's what we've got. You know, and I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of every one of you and what you've done, how you've worked, and how you've really given it everything to make this place what it is. But this is just a shell. This is just a building that God has provided for us for this time, for this moment, to worship Him in. But our field is out there. Our field is around here. Our field is our neighbours, the corner shop, the people we deal with, the people we talk to on a daily basis. Look for your fields. You see, Jesus didn't need to go to Samaria, but He chose to go there because He knew in His heart there's a harvest to be taken that day. And He moved into that place. And He told her everything she'd ever done. He told her everything she'd ever done. You know, she must have been amazed. How does he know this? How does he know I've got five husbands? I've had five husbands. How does he know that the one I've got isn't my own? But he's married to somebody else. How does he know these things? How does he know it? You see, if Jesus had done the norm and just walked into Galilee, the normal route, he wouldn't have had this. But he saw a field. In his heart he saw a field. Let the Holy Spirit guide him into the field. And he went and he met this woman. He told her all the things, all the rubbish, all the mess in her life. And he pointed it out to her. You know, but he still loved her. You know, this is a Saviour that we're dealing with, who sees the mess in our lives, who sees the rubbish that attaches itself to us. It sees the sin and the muck that we grow up in sometimes, and we wade through day by day. And yet he says, I don't care about these things. I still love you in spite of your sin. I still love you in spite of your waywardness. I still love you because you don't look at the fields. I still love you because I made you, and I want you, and I want you to be mine, and I want you to come to that realization that in me your heart will be set free. There's people walking these streets with hearts of the bound. You know, and for us to make a difference in this town, our hearts need to be released. We need to be at our fittest, at our strongest, at our most spiritual highest to take this church on. I can't take it on. Duncan and Pat can't take it on. Phil and Carol can't take it on. All the others involved in leadership, we can't take it on. We are a church together, and we together can do this thing. I can stand up here week by week and preach it and preach it and preach it, but until we do it, then it will never happen. Until we start looking for our fields, until we start looking for our opportunities, until we start seeing where God wants us to be and what God wants us to do. A church that loses its vision of the field will start to die. You know, we are establishing a new thing today here. We need to be establishing a new way in our hearts too. Let's start looking for fields. Let's start looking for opportunities to minister. I keep saying this and I'll keep on saying it until it is happening. I'm not waving a finger at you and bringing condemnation. I'm encouraging you. We have an opportunity now. We have a new base here, and people are saying, wow, what's going on here? What is this noise we're hearing? You know, what is? I had a thought this morning as we were praying here before the service of the Spanish upstairs just tapping their feet along with the songs. looking forward to every Sunday morning broadcast at 11 o'clock from Wellspring Church. And every time, they'd be lingering on the way to the beach thinking, oh, we'll go slowly this morning, sitting and laughing the whole song as we go past this morning. You know, people are going to be interested. They've shown interest already. The number of people who have come in this building, the number of people have said bueno, the number of people have asked us when we're opening, the number of Spanish people have said, oh, we're so pleased as a church. It's not a bar, it's not a brothel, it's not something like that. It is a house of God. You know, we put a cross in reception. As people will look through that door, they'll see what our statement is. You know, and when we get a sign up next week, it will say who we are. And we are in a field, but we need to be looking for more fields. You know, it's not going to just happen here around this apartment block. It's going to be around there, everywhere you are. Where you're at is your field. So as you drive from Camposol, as you drive from the country club, as you drive from Pastrana or wherever it is you come from this morning, or further away, like us, there's lots of fields between here and the port. You know, I'm not looking for grass this morning. I'm not looking for fields of grass. Don't get me wrong. Fields of artichokes. I'm looking for fields of hearts that need Jesus. You know, look for the fields. Look for the people. You know, they're there. You know, do what Jesus did. Respond to the Spirit that's working inside your heart. And go and do something about the field. Walk a different way. Go a different route. Change your route for a change. And see what new fields you see on the way into church in the morning, on the way out in an afternoon. See, Jesus spent time with this woman at Jacob's well. He told all the things about her that gobsmacked her. And it says in Scripture, you read it when you go home, John chapter 4, read it when you get home today. She just left the jar and she went back into the city. She'd come with a water jar to collect water, but because of what Jesus said to her, she dumped the jar and went back into the city. She was so excited that she'd met this man. Could he be the Messiah? Could he be the one? And she went back and it says she told all the men about what had happened. So much so that these men listened to this little woman and came to find Jesus. And in a crazy version of this chapter this morning, when all the men came from the city, this woman had said, come and see this man who told me all the things I ever did. But he loves me. But he loves me. He doesn't care about my sin. He doesn't care about the stuff. Well, he does. But it's not a biggie with him. Because he can deal with that sin. He can deal with that stuff. But he says, come to me. And when the men came from the city, the disciples arrived back because they'd gone to get food. And they're there with Jesus talking, all these people and stuff going on. And they said, yeah, we brought you food, Lord. Here's the bread, here's the food. He says, I have a different kind of bread I'm dealing with at the moment. A different kind of bread. I'm about my Father's business. I'm about the harvest today. Because which more important? Eating the bread, doing the norm, or putting yourself out and touching the lives of all of these people who come from the city to find out about Jesus, to find out if he was the Messiah, if he was the one. And they come, and the Scripture says that many, many that day gave their lives to Jesus. Many, many that day, hearts were changed. Chains were broken. People free because of Jesus, because he'd got out of his way, because he'd looked up in his heart and he'd seen the harvest that was ripe. You see, we've come here and we're saying, well, nobody knows about Jesus. Don't you believe it? There are people around here who've had religion in their hearts for years. They know all sorts of things about Jesus, but they need to know that his life will set them free. You know, and we have a job to do here. We have a harvest field. We have fields around us today. And here is Jesus talking to them. The disciples didn't understand. He said, you know, you bring me food. You bring me physical food. But I'm about spiritual food today. I am about the harvest. You know, some will plant and some, you know, priests and Catholic priests have planted in hearts in this town. You know, and maybe God's called you to harvest what's been planted. Some seeds from years ago, some seeds from childhood, some seeds from Sunday school were planted. Maybe 50, 60, 70 years on, it's time for the harvest. It's time for you to put in the sickle and cut down and bring in the harvest of those that are ready to receive Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. He was talking about a different kind of food. That day, many, many, it says, believed in him. And this woman, she said, he told me. He told me everything I've ever done. But he still loves me. You know, Jesus knows exactly where you're at today. And exactly where I'm at today. And he still loves you. And he still loves me. I don't care what you've done wrong, what you've said wrong, what your heart, what's in your heart that nobody else knows about. He knows about it today. He knows the mess you've made. He knows the things you've done wrong, the things you said and the things you haven't said. He knows all of these things. And yet he says, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you more than you could ever know. That's why I went to the cross for you. Jesus extends his hand to every one of us this morning. And he says, I will lift you up. I will lift you up so you can stand on mountains. If you will let me. If you will let me. You know, we can't hide from him stuff. So many of us, we just have this sort of belief that, I remember how I used to think, well, you know, no one else knows, so Jesus doesn't know. How naive can you get? You know, and God deals with us in certain ways, but he always deals with us in a loving way. He always loves us. He always puts his arms around us. I love you so much. I don't care about the sin. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still doing the stuff we did, still involved in the stuff we were involved in, Scripture says that Christ died for you and he died for me. What will you do today with this Jesus? What do you think about this man? Has he spoken into your heart this morning? Has the Holy Spirit ministered into your heart this morning? Has he told you about things that you've done? Well, don't worry about that. He wants you to tell you those things so that you do something about it, that you get right with him. And this morning I'm going to give opportunity, before we move on, before we have communion this morning, before we sing any more songs, that if anybody here, you may not have ever given your heart to Jesus before. You may have, and you may have gone cold. You may have realized that God's pointed something out this morning in your heart, and you want to put things right with him. I want to give you opportunity this morning. I'm not going to linger this and labour this morning, but I just felt so certain this morning to bring this word that whatever you've done, God loves you enough to go to Calvary to shed his blood for you and for me, to set you free and to set me free. I wouldn't have to live in condemnation anymore, but my life could be set free. And that's what he's done for everyone in this building this morning, and everyone walking those streets out there today. They don't know about it yet, and that's the field we've got to go and minister into. They don't know about it yet, but God is calling us to minister there. But he wants to deal with us first. He wants to get us in that position of strength that we can go and minister into the harvest field. Will you let him come into your life this morning? Will you say yes to Jesus? He went out of his way for us. He went the long route because he knew that if he did, that forever, at all times, he could break sin, break condemnation, break guilt off our lives. Let's pray together. Precious Father. Father, I thank you for all that Jesus did. And Father, I just thank you this morning that you give opportunity here, right in this place, right now, for sons and daughters, for brothers and sisters, to, Lord, to just to reach out in our hearts to you and say, Father, I know I've messed up on many occasions. Father, I know I've done stupid things. Father, I don't know how I'm going to put my life right, but I know that you can put it right if I allow you to. If you want to let Jesus touch your heart this morning, if you want to recommit your life to him this morning, if you want to say, Jesus, thank you for all you've done for me, light my fire in my heart, Lord. Light my fire. Give me, Father, my harvest field and release me into it. Whatever it is, whatever the need, you need something from Jesus this morning, I want to ask you to stand right now. I'm going to pray with you. I'm not going to call you out individually. I'm not going to do that. We're going to do that as we come do communion. We're going to pray and lay hands on everybody this morning, just as we serve communion. But if you want something new from Jesus today, if you want something new, if you want him to give you a fresh start today, I'd like to ask you to stand this morning. I don't care if we all stand as a church or individual stand. Not going to make a fuss. It's not going to be no big deal for Jesus. Whatever you've done, whatever you've messed up on, it's not a problem today for him, because he's bigger than all our problems put together. He's big enough to do every problem in Matheron today, right this minute, right this second. And if you want Jesus, if you never asked Jesus into your life this morning, I want you to stand too and say this simple prayer. And as we say this prayer, Jesus will come into your heart and he'll do something in your life. He'll give you new vision and new hope this morning. So Father, I thank you for those standing this morning and those not standing. Because Father, I know there are those not standing that need to stand this morning, but that's between you and them. But Father, I pray this prayer this morning. And if you want to follow me through it, just in your heart, quietly, then do so. But I just encourage you to share it with somebody before you leave today, what you've done. Father, I commit my life to you today. I know I can't do this thing by myself. I know I've made such a mess of my life. I know I've done stupid things. But Father, I've heard this morning that you love me in spite of all this stuff, in spite of all of these things I've done. And Father, I ask you to forgive me. And Father, I ask you to put my life back on track. Father, I ask you to give me vision and a hope for the future. I thank you that there is hope in you this morning. So Father, I just receive you right now into my heart. I ask you to be my Saviour, to be my Lord, to help me through the coming days, to be with me, to strengthen me. And I say, I love you, Jesus, in his precious name. Amen. And